Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Tuesday morning, April 28th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined as always by Johnny Cakes Allville.
Hello, everybody.
Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning. And Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir. What's going
that
on?
The foursome, as always. You want to get in touch with us throughout the show, you can call us at 800-636-1067. That's the same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. You can text Jason. Standard message data charges may apply. And you can always tweet us at Junks Radio on the program today. Les Carpenter from the Washington Post is going to join us. We will talk about the Redskins front office and how Ron Rivera and Kyle Smith have found common ground. And they've come together in the draft and free agency. Also on the program, coming up at 9 o'clock, one of our favorites, but the listeners often do not like when we have him on, Howard Eskin, who covers the Eagles. Will fill us in on why they drafted Jalen Hurts, amongst other topics.
Yeah. He always likes to tweak the Skins fan base.
He's going to tell us it was the best draft pick of the draft.
Yes, he's pretty pro Eagles pretty much every time, right? Does he ever trash them?
Never.
Oh, I think he does.
I haven't heard it.
Well,
not
see, I lived
show.
In Philadelphia, and I used to listen to him. He used to trash the Philly teams all the time.
Right, but when he comes on
show,
here,
he's
very pro-Philly.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years, the Eagles have been pretty good.
Yeah, maybe
they won a Super Bowl. They've contended for Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So they've had scoreboard the last couple of years.
So he's coming on what time? 9?
9 o'clock.
All right, that's
cool. We'll talk to Howard Eskin at 9.
That'll infuriate everyone.
He's always ready to take a dig.
That'll be a good time to get off my social media because Redskins fans just go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to defend every slight.
Always entertaining, though.
When it's okay, the guy's just goofing around. Who cares what he says?
Yeah. Right. God forbid you have a differing viewpoint.
Cakes, you're not allowed to have a different viewpoint in 2020.
You're certainly
There's
not.
One viewpoint, you're not allowed to have a different one.
That's right. And it is curious, though, why they would select Jalen Hurts with a second-round pick when they've got Carson Wentz under a long contract.
Right.
They just want to be a backup?
Again, hard to criticize a coach who won a Super Bowl, but...
they have a plan.
I think they have a plan. We just don't understand it. I think that second-round picks should be guys that start from week one. And obviously, Hurts isn't going to start. So, unless they're going to use him in a few packages.
I think they're going to do that. I think
that's five,
six
plays a game. Who knows?
I think that's the trend, dude. Even Drew Brees. I mean, they bring in Taysom Hill, right?
That's right.
For a few packages. So I think that's the trend. And also remember, I wouldn't completely dismiss out of hand Adam Schefter's report that, you know, the coronavirus played a factor in a lot of these executives' minds. They're thinking, well, if my quarterback gets it, I need to have a quality guy or a package of plays that we feel like we can win with. So who knows? Could explain why Jameis Winston ended up where he did. Still unbelievable that Cam is still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking for a deal.
Still unbelievable.
And reports are the Patriots are not interested.
Yeah.
Even though there have been rumors linking the Patriots to Cam Newton, the latest is the Patriots not interested.
Yeah, I think they've already they've made their decision internally, and they're going to roll the dice with Stidham or whatever, and they're going to see how it goes. He's clearly comfortable with Hoyer as a backup, you know, in that Colt McCoy role.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see. That's going to be a fascinating storyline to see if we ever get these games going again. And I'm feeling increasingly confident that we will, but, you know, in a no fan situation, certainly to start anyway, or very, very limited fans. But it's going to be fascinating to see how the Patriots play out, how the Bucks play out. Man,
especially, I think the Bucks are going to be good. I mean, the Bucks are loaded offensively. They should be good. No idea on the Patriots. My expectations is they'll probably hover around 500 just because Belichick's that good. And we'll get the most out of his talent. But
yeah,
the thing about Tampa is, Tampa, to me, is in the tougher conference. The NFC's got a bunch of teams. They're just loaded. So they're going to have to get through teams like the Saints, the Vikings, the Packers, the 49ers. It's just going to be tough. And Dallas, the Cowboys could be good this year.
Don't forget draft Seahawks. He'll get upset. He may leave the show today.
I just think the NFC's loaded.
Well, not just the conference, the division. I mean, the division's much tougher than what the Pats had to deal with year in, year out. I mean, I know Buffalo was good last year, but for years, Buffalo, the Jets, Miami were just cupcakes. And that was six easy wins. But this year won't be that way.
So, Jason, you didn't play golf yesterday, right? Was yesterday your TV day when you just catch up on everything?
No golf. I don't know if we're going to get any golf in this week. It's going to be mostly rain, except for maybe Friday. But I don't like playing. Even if it rained, you know, a day before or a couple days before, I just
don't like
playing
when it's
on
a little wet.
I don't like playing on wet courses. I just don't like it. So, no golf yesterday. Yep, I went to took a little walk after the show and then came back, had lunch, had a little pork butt and coleslaw.
You just love butt.
And then I watched Homeland first, and then I watched The Last Dance.
Cakes? Which one did you enjoy more?
I mean, like them both for different reasons, but Homeland, a little bit of a twist there at the end, Cakesy. You were right. Jumping ahead 2 years, and she's living in Moscow with Yevgeny.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yevgeny reminds me of Tony Kukoc for some reason. I don't know why.
I can see a little bit of that. He's probably got some good handle. He looks pretty tall.
Definitely tall.
I actually read an article about Tony Kukoc yesterday. I guess, you know, they're trying to get in touch with everybody about The Last Dance.
Uh-huh.
And Kukoc was – they haven't really shown it much, but Kukoc was brutalized by Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan when he joined the Bulls because he was Jerry Krause's guy.
Right.
And on the Dream Team, they fought as to who was going to defend him in the first game, and they held him to four games. In the gold medal game, I think Kukoc finished with 19. Mm-hmm. But Steve Kerr said after The Last Dance wrapped up, they got together, the team, one last time, and it was for a team dinner. And everybody, I guess Phil Jackson said, made everybody give a toast. And Kerr said he gave a toast to Tony Kukoc because he knew how valuable he was to the team, but that he'd had to deal with so much criticism. Kukoc was weird, though. He kind of just took it as constructive criticism. He just let it slide off his back. He didn't worry about it.
Hmm. Yeah. Then the fact that he was making more money at one point than both Jordan and Pippen.
Yeah. But I think that last year he did win Sixth Man of the Year, so he was a very valuable player for him.
Of course.
You always like to defend your boy.
That's his
Kukoc
guy.
Kukoc was my guy. The waiter. Dude. The waiter served him up. Like you said, if he was on a different team, and it wasn't just him, I think it was Stacey King, a former Bull, who said it. He said if he was on a different team, he probably averaged 20 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists.
Right.
If he got to handle the ball, but, you know, he didn't.
Right.
That was fascinating.
Always good.
Just watching that just brings back so many memories, and you know, the Rodman stuff was great. I had completely forgotten that he dated Madonna. Completely forgot that.
Right.
And then, but you guys are right. Carmen Electra looked like a 12 at 48 years old.
Did she say? No, she didn't say what she's doing. She's just commenting, right?
I mean, I read that she does. She does do some Instagram stuff, EB.
Yeah.
And it looks like she does occasional events. Where it'll be like Carmen Electra hosts a party at a bar.
Right. She's busy being Carmen Electra.
Exactly.
It's like a Junks appearance. She probably gets paid a little bit more, but it sounds kind of like what we do.
She's holding up better than the Junks.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
Clearly.
She looked good. She looked really good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the second episode four was all about, you know, Phil Jackson and when he was hired and why he was hired. And then,
now,
of course,
the
Pistons.
Now, was he an assistant? Was he in a, where was he before they hired? Because I can't remember.
He was like in the
Was he in the CBA?
He was like in the CBA
head coach?
Yeah,
yeah.
Before that, he was in like a Mexican basketball league.
No, right. Puerto Rico. He was in Puerto Rico, and then he went to the CBA. And
he was coaching some Albany team.
Yeah.
Krause Albany
wanted to hire him under Albeck.
It's a good poll, EB.
Thank you, Cakes.
You know your CBA team name. You don't know Drab's favorite team, Yakima. You can't pull it.
Sun Kings.
Wow. That's clap that out. That's impressive.
Just deep knowledge. I never would have thought of that ever in my life.
No,
but
it's there. It's somewhere in the brain. Yeah.
So weird.
Krause wanted to hire him when Stan Albeck was the coach, and apparently Phil Jackson didn't dress appropriately. Mm-hmm. And Stan Albeck was like a suit and tie guy and said, I'm not hiring this nut job. But then when Doug Collins took over, Krause forced him in as the assistant. And he was a big Tex Winter guy who was the triangle offense guy. And he had Phil working with Tex Winter. And Doug Collins just was a give Jordan the ball guy. Yeah. And eventually they moved on from that.
No, I think you're right, though. He was with the Nets before the Bulls as an assistant.
Uh-huh.
So he was with the Nets for a few years.
Drabby's updating me that it's the Tri-City Chinook.
You guys ever heard of that team?
Vaguely.
And the Sun Kings are the rival.
Yeah, that's the hometown team.
Okay. Cubs. Never heard of them.
What, that's a new team, the Tri-City Chinook?
No, it was the CBA back in the day.
Oh, okay.
I think they drafted Jordan when he retired.
They were so nubs. They,
oh, they did.
Two teams in the state of Washington.
Yeah, Rick, they're all over there.
But Krause, you know, Krause gets killed for breaking up the team at the end, but, man, he made some ballsy moves.
He put it together.
He put it all together, and, you know, that's one reason why they won all those championships. But just ballsy moves, getting rid of Collins, who Jordan loved, and then bringing in Phil, and then Phil brings in Tex Winter. And, you know, obviously
for those last three, bringing in Rodman. Rodman
was Rodman,
critical for those last three.
Right.
And, I mean, he was a member of the Bad
Boys.
But
he didn't even want to. He didn't even want to bring in Rodman. His assistant
saw how much Jordan and Pippen and the rest of them hated the Pistons and still do.
Oh, that was great.
I want to ask you about when did they? Because I didn't see that fourth episode yet, and my understanding is they still wrap up the Rodman stuff, and that's when Carmen Electra comes in. Do they talk about him having sex with her on the court or something? Did that come up?
I think he said or she said that maybe there was one time when he surprised her, put her in a blindfold, and she didn't know where they were going, and they ended up at the Bulls facility.
Yeah.
And then they just banged all over the place.
Right. So is that going to be – so maybe that episode I shouldn't watch with my 10-year-old running around? That sounds like maybe that's not a great one.
Probably not.
Probably not that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, skip through that. Just get right to the Pistons.
I'll fast forward through that one.
You know what's funny is you mentioned that. So yesterday I was driving and my 13-year-old son was in the car. And Carmen Electra was being interviewed on – I think it was – she was being interviewed on the radio. Mm-hmm. And –
there you go. Hint, hint, Drabby. Yeah.
So Carmen Electra was on, and she started talking about that very subject, EB, and I felt uncomfortable, and I switched it, and my son turned to me and goes, I like this.
I like it.
He's kind of getting to that age.
Hitting lady radio. Who doesn't?
He was getting Johnny Cakes in his pants.
The question where I turned the station was, I think the woman asked Electra if there was ever other women in the bed with them while they were married.
That'll like, grab your attention.
I was like, this is a show. And he's like, turn it back.
I usually try to power through those kind of conversations and just like act like I'm unfazed. Don't make a big deal about it. Because I was raised in a where my mother would just have a conniption over stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm trying to be mellow and not make a big deal. But if they started talking about threesomes, I might have to switch it.
Yeah, you got to move on from that.
I know at Ozark, I had to like clear the room, like season one. I didn't know what we were getting into.
Well, opening scene, season
opening
one.
Opening scene was outrageous. I had the whole family gathered around it. I said, we got to watch this. Everyone says it's great. I had no idea.
Right. And Laura Linney's getting from a certain
like
angle.
Snoop Dogg. Yeah, I had no idea.
I do think, though, that Rodman is only like the first 5 minutes of episode four, and then it becomes a Phil Jackson episode. My guess would be, and we had the director Jason Hare on the show, that they probably just didn't time the editing of it because he was still putting this together in the last couple weeks, and they had extra Rodman material. Instead of smashing it into episode three, they just let it spill over into episode four.
That makes sense.
I like how they go, you know, they go back and forth in the timeline.
Yeah.
It's not all chronological. I like that. I think it's very well done.
The best thing that we did was watch it tape delayed like a half hour later. So if it started at 9, so we started at 9:30, and we were able to fast forward. I know people have been doing that for years, but I usually don't do that. But it made it much more palatable because, you know, I'm just so used to watching shows now without commercials.
No question about it.
Made it much better.
All right, so I mentioned Les Carpenter is going to join us. We will talk about the Redskins front office and how Ron Rivera and Kyle Smith have found common ground. He'll join us at 8 o'clock from the Washington Post, and at 9 o'clock, Howard Eskin to talk Eagles and NFC East. Keep it here. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Tuesday morning. A little bit later in the show, we're going to give you a chance to win a Paisano's gift card. I actually prepped a game last night based on this. So I saw this article about what the airlines are doing and what the hotels are doing because they're just not getting any cash. The hotels in particular have no cash flow because nobody's traveling, nobody's staying at hotels. So they're offering incentives to people for future stays. So you could get a five-star hotel in Chicago, right? And let's say you typically would spend, let's just go with a $100 figure. They're giving you $200 for every $100 if you give them essentially the money up front. So you pay it forward,
right?
But you get a huge discount for whenever you would stay at the hotel.
They want that cash in hand.
I prepped a game, Coronavirus Bargain Hunters, for later in the show. Would you guys like to play one?
Yes.
Sure.
Some of them are travel.
Let's test it out.
Some of them are things that you could buy for a great price right now.
Okay.
All right.
Do you want to go travel or purchase?
Let's go travel.
All right, travel. Yeah. Now, this one is one I don't think you would ever do. How about a one-week stay at the Waldorf Astoria, five-star hotel in Beijing?
Beijing, okay.
Out.
Flight included.
Out.
Okay, flight and Waldorf Astoria for a week.
For a week.
Okay.
It's in Dongcheng, Beijing.
Okay.
What's the question?
Pickle loves that city, Dongcheng.
Yeah, yeah. Not like you like butt.
I do like butt. I like me some butt.
Go ahead, JP. What is the actual question?
So it's a one-week stay. Yeah. How much do you think it would cost for a one-week stay? Waldorf Astoria Hotel, five
right
stars.
Now?
One of the best. No, for January 1st through January 8th, 2021.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. In the future.
All right. I've got my. I have my figure. You want me to write it down or just say it?
Doesn't matter to me. You can say it.
So you're including the flight and everything?
Including the flight to China.
Right.
China.
A week stay at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
I'm writing it down.
I'll be way off,
you can get it for a bargain right now. I'm telling you, it's a bargain.
In January. In Beijing.
In January.
So you're saying this is the rock bottom price.
Go to the wet market.
Yeah. I'll be way off.
25 hundo.
Yeah.
I'll say 1,500.
Well, since JP says it's a bargain, I'm going to say 500.
Well, it's way more than that.
500.
I mean, that's
what
100.
Is it?
I told you I'd be way off.
You have to pay me $100,000 to go. I mean, $1 million to go there.
You can't even gas the 747 for that.
It's roughly $4,000.
$4,000.
That doesn't sound like a bargain to me.
It sounds like a lot of money.
What do you think typically before all this a flight to China was? Are you kidding me? Just a flight?
A flight's no probably $4,000.
Right, and
not
then probably
more.
A stay at the Waldorf Astoria before all this, no matter where it was minimum.
Well, see, this is a terrible game because people aren't going to have anything to compare it to. They're not going to have any clue how much it actually would cost without the COVID.
All right, you know what? I'm going to burn one more, Jason, because you love to stay at the Cove, right?
All right.
All right.
So you have a little reference.
He has an idea of that
one. So the Cove's at the Atlantis in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I looked up a week starting July 4th. So if you wanted to roll the dice and say everything's going to be okay come Independence Day, July 4th. I want to take my family, July 4th through July 11th, 1 week stay at the Cove, flight from Reagan included. So flight from Reagan gets you to the Bahamas. You get to the Atlantis. What is a trip for two going to cost you there?
I have a guess.
The Cove. Now, your guess is based on the depressed environment right now, Jason? Or
yeah, I mean, I know what it would cost in a normal year. For the Cove, anyway.
See, I'm going to say $2,500.
I'm going to say it would usually cost about $6,000. So I'll say it's about a third of that. I'll say a couple grand, $2,000.
$4,000. $39.98.
Did you preface all this by saying this is because you're looking for vacation spots?
No. I was just looking for content on the show today, and I read the article about
what
the
hotels are doing. Well, we have hit the bottom, haven't we?
Hey, you know what? You need to figure out how much your travel is going to cost at some point, EB.
Right.
At some point, we will travel again. At some point, we'll get on an airplane again. Yes. I don't know when.
Question is when,
but we will.
Well, we're going to wear a mask. I know I will. Probably for the next 20 years.
Well, I think, didn't JetBlue just come out?
Yeah.
It's mandatory to wear a mask.
You should be.
Have to.
And they're passing out hand sanitizer.
That's brilliant.
They got some silly KO Distillery hand sanitizer.
I might just book a flight so I can get some hand sanitizer at this point. Because it's freaking impossible to find. I mean, the flight ticket's got to be cheap, right? I mean, they can't be charging a lot.
Yeah. Well, you're liable to be on the plane by yourself.
I mean, some of these flights have the crew and like two people.
Right.
I'd love to hear from somebody who's traveled recently because I read an article yesterday about a full flight and the people were complaining that half the people weren't using masks.
Right.
So the people on the flight were panicking about it.
I can't believe it was a full flight.
Did you see that there? Well, maybe it was like, I don't know.
Smaller plane.
All business stuff. Yeah, a smaller plane. There's a company out there. They were highlighting it on the news. That has come out with a plan to redesign the cabin so that the middle seats are all facing the other way. And then with screens around everybody, right? With plexiglass.
Yeah.
And they were saying their company would retrofit all the planes so that every other seat, a third of the plane will be facing backwards like you do like on the metro or on the subway. Now, would you want to fly? Now, I think that would be a good way of making sure that your guys aren't breathing each other's air, I think, on some level. Mm-hmm. Would you want to fly backwards? Can you imagine going down the runway backwards? Wouldn't that make you nauseous?
I think you'd get used to it. I mean, unless you're like a real like phobic flyer and have, you know, like...
Well, like a stomach
motion
thing.
Motion sickness issues.
Yeah.
I
but
think
that you'd be could, fine. That could be... the way we go
that
here.
That sounds so weird.
Doesn't
did
it?
You guys see the video of the retrofit blackjack table? In Vegas. It's not to fend off Rom and his smoke smell.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's because of the corona. They have, you know, these clear plexiglass partitions.
Yeah.
Where everybody just steps in. And I think
makes sense.
I don't know what they're going to do as far as, like,
the
touching
chips.
The cars and the chips, but they're definitely trying to go forward and figure out how they're going to get people back in the casinos.
Oh yeah, they got to get people back.
They got to get people back.
There's just going to be hand sanitizer dispensers
everywhere. Yeah.
And you're just going to pump that all day long. And so all those things that people said for years about, oh, it weakens your immune system, and it's better to just get the virus. No. They're now, everyone's giving up on that.
The CEO of the company
that hand sanitizer
that owns Purell, he's going to have a yacht that makes Jerry Jones look like a little tugboat.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to make so much cash. It's
crazy.
Well,
the thing about the restaurants, so, you know, these restaurants are going to start opening. There's actually one opening, I don't know, I think May 8th. It's either May 8th or May 15th, right up the street.
Yeah.
Right here. You can't wear a mask in a restaurant.
No, but they can separate the tables.
No, you can separate, right? You can do the 6 feet thing. But if you're sitting at the bar, or maybe they won't even allow people to sit at the bar.
The bar stuff might be cooked.
But you can't drink with a mask on. You can't eat with a mask on. There'll be no mask in restaurants.
Masks will be difficult. But the servers could have masks.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Bartenders probably will. Servers probably will.
It's going to be friggin' bizarro world, dude.
Yeah.
Till we get
But you know what? Baby steps. At least that'll be something different to do.
Yeah.
This woman that was on the flight, I guess, had her grandmother pass away in Chapel Hill. And she said that she wanted to be there with her family as her grandmother passed away. So she traveled from New York.
Oh, that's an old story. I saw this. And there was no one on the plane or something, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you asked me why I came up with some of these stories. So she traveled on the plane, and she said the thing was packed, that they actually made an announcement and said, we can't follow social distancing guidelines. The plane is full.
Right.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, the companies can only do so much. It's down to the person. I mean, the person has to make the decision. All right, I know it's going to be I'm going to be within 6 feet of other people. Do I just roll the dice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where you have to pull a John Feinstein and just fly. Just drive.
Drive.
Right.
You just punt. I mean, you can drive from New York to Chapel Hill. I know it's a lot shorter to hop on a bird. But especially if you want to stay away from other people, you just block off half a day and make that drive.
Yeah. I mean, if they're that worried about it, then they'll drive.
What a pain in the ass.
Oh, that would take forever.
Some people have to fly all the time. I think there's going to be obviously a lot less in the future and probably a lot more Zoom meetings in the future.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear from somebody. If anybody's traveled in the last month, 800-636-1067.
Well, there has to be people that are traveling for business. They still have work that has to get done, even though the Zoom meetings are they're out of control.
There's planes every day, 5, 6, 7, 10 planes a day flying over my house. Someone's going somewhere.
But there used to be how many that would fly over your house?
I don't know.
About every other minute.
I mean, I didn't count. I don't know, but I'm just saying that people are still flying.
Yeah, but not anywhere near. It's way down.
No, it's way down.
Yeah, yeah. It has to be.
Yeah, because my buddy's a pilot for United. He said they had cut the flights by 90% at one. Now, this was about 3 weeks ago, so maybe they're increasing them a little bit, but by 90%.
Right.
I'm guessing nobody's in a rush to go buy, like, Southwest stock and add that to their portfolio. Maybe you are if it's, like, at a bottom and you're just grasping. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I know this. If and when we ever return to our studios, I don't know if Homewood Suites is even going to be open.
Who knows?
I didn't call Colonial. God damn it.
You're not going to.
I'm going to call him today.
Yeah, you keep saying that. The boy who cried parking.
Let me guess. Someone has to text you to remind you.
I just don't think about it when I sign off. I got a million things to do. I got a fire to make.
JP, I actually talked to the GM of the Homewood.
Okay, good.
Shocker.
And she said that...
don't worry about it. You're going to be good.
She said they're thinking about change. She couldn't tell me exactly what it was, but she said they're thinking about changing something with the parking, but she said we're still going to be fine.
You're a silly insider there, Jason. You're the tip of the spear.
Yeah, you got to reach out and touch someone, man.
Jason's the most controlling person I've ever met. You think he's not going to be on that? Of course
he's never talked to or met this person that he's speaking of. I think I've seen her. I've never had contact with her ever.
Yeah.
I haven't.
She's not ugly.
I'm a Dave guy. Dave's the original guy.
Yeah, I was a Dave guy, too. Dave moved on.
Dave went to Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, no, Dave moved on.
See, I didn't know Dave went to Atlanta. I just knew that he moved on.
Right. Yeah. You guys just don't ask questions.
Yeah.
I don't ask too many
questions.
What
about the guy that was in prison, unfairly imprisoned?
Oh, Chris?
Yeah, is he still there?
He got a promotion, before the pandemic hit.
He got a promotion, but I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him.
Right.
I don't have his number.
Right.
Good dude, though.
He's not as attractive as the manager.
No, just not. I mean,
definitely not.
Well, he's definitely not.
and I haven't seen the manager.
Yeah.
You just heard Jason's description.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that's not attractive we kind of wanted to get into that came out yesterday were these photos of Alex Smith's leg.
Oh, my gosh. Brutal.
Yeah, this is the photo that was like 4 days after the injury or something?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw them on TMZ. I'm not sure where they were. They were everywhere on social media. But you just see how destroyed his leg was, you know, less than a week after he broke the leg on the field.
So he obviously, he released the photos, right? I mean, he's got to be able to say, all right, yeah, you can release these photos.
Or they just leaked.
Done appropriately.
Or they just leaked.
Yeah, my guess is somebody had the picture and released it and leaked it.
Really?
Well, thought, why would he release it?
Well, isn't this part of
a documentary?
Oh, that's true.
His family may have granted access.
I would guess family said, yeah, it's okay to if it's part of this documentary, I would say, yeah, it's okay to show him. But maybe you're right. I don't know.
I just know the photos that we saw, what was it, maybe during Halloween or something?
Uh-huh.
And he looked like he had cankles on that one leg. It was just it looks so brutal.
Well, those pictures are tame compared to what like the graphic nature of the photos that came out yesterday.
The photos came out yesterday looked like he got bit by a great white shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, was brutal. We knew it was bad.
Yeah,
we knew it was bad, but I had no idea it would look like that.
Yeah.
Well, 17 follow-up surgeries on that.
Yeah. That's why this whole notion, I mean, nobody even talks about it anymore, but every once in a while people throw out there, well, is Alex Smith still in their plans? I mean, God bless him. It's just not going to happen.
Maybe in the front office.
He's just lucky he's able to walk and or run.
Maybe
again.
as an assistant GM,
right?
But not as a quarterback.
Dan Snyder drinking buddy.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever.
Well, we were the first ones on that one, Cakes. We put that out there.
We had sources.
Put that out there.
Nobody ever believes the junks.
They never believe the junks.
Think we're just a bunch of knuckleheads.
Told you, it was a devastating injury. Probably never going to play again. The consequences of the infection. It's a shame, too, man, because he couldn't be a nicer guy.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Yep.
It's amazing that just something like that can happen within hours. You know, I never knew that kind of injury was so dangerous in terms of infection and that sort of thing.
Right.
And it's not like – I'm sure they did the proper protocols and everything. I'm sure they were aware that this was an issue, and he still couldn't avoid it.
I don't know, man. When a leg looks like that, I just tell myself someone screwed up.
Well,
I guess the E60 is coming out May 1st.
Is that what it is?
So it's not a is 30 the E60 for 30,
is it the E60 just on him or is it on something different?
On his leg injury.
It's called Project 11.
Friday, May 1st.
Oh, okay.
It's called what, Drab?
Project 11. It's all about his recovery from the leg injury.
Oh, so he definitely released the photos. If it's all about
him. are they suggesting that he's still trying to come back? I mean, still.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be amazing. It'd be one of the great comebacks. It'd be right up there with like Bo Jackson playing with an artificial hip, which. Still, I don't think gets enough
credit. If he was 25, I'd say there's a shot, outside shot, you know, very small chance. But 35, 36, whatever he is, I'd say no chance.
I just don't see how a sport like football, any doctor would sign off on him taking a hit to that leg.
Right.
That little spindly little leg.
Because the next time he took a hit on that leg, then he really
snapped like a twig.
Correct.
Yeah, he'd be right in the same boat again. Can you imagine? Damn thing protruding again.
No chance his wife would allow that.
Be hard to imagine, but you want to go out on your own, you know, on your own terms too. When you're a player of that caliber, but sometimes you don't get to do that. You know, I'm just seeing here about. I know I'm way late to this. When did they have the voting? Like a month ago or something for like where Ja Morant won Rookie of the Year. So did they? I didn't realize that. That's essentially them waving the white flag on the regular season. Right?
Oh, regular season's Dunsky. You knew that.
I mean, even in though my own mind, but I didn't think publicly they had done that.
What? I don't think they've done that.
I thought I read somewhere.
They haven't publicly, but.
But hold on. Did they? Why did I read somewhere that Zion talks about how he couldn't overtake John Morant in the Rookie of the Year voting? Did you guys
not see
that?
Well, maybe he's just pontificating it.
Just in the future?
There's been like online polls and different outlets have put out their awards, but they're not the
NBA has not put out their official.
No,
I haven't seen it.
No.
Okay, I was going to ask you where you saw it.
Well, I just was reading and I was like, well, he's talking about how he couldn't overtake John Morant in the Rookie of the Year
Well, he
race.
Played like 15, 20 games. How many games did Zion Williamson play?
Not a lot.
Yeah, but I'm just
probably
thinking,
about 20.
I'm just thinking they haven't closed the door on a regular season return, even if it's only like 10 games in a condensed fashion.
No, they haven't publicly, but I mean, just use your brain.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they would. All these players are saying you'd need a 3 or 4 week camp just to get ready for the season if
well,
it
that's
started.
That's true.
I mean, when are they going to start that?
You can't just start it up. There's no doubt about
that. They don't need 4 weeks. Give them a week.
Major League Baseball is talking about an 80-game regular season. 80.
Yeah. That might be perfect.
Exactly. That might be ideal.
That would perfect. Suck. That would
he
suck.
Win a Cy Young with like 8 wins.
Yeah. Right.
He went 8-2.
Didn't Baseball Cakes thinks that's paradise.
Didn't DeGrom already do that?
Yeah, I know. No one cares about wins anymore.
He had like a 10-win Cy Young season.
Yeah. If you have like a 1.6 ERA, you can have 0 wins. They don't care.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. A little bit later in the program, Les Carpenter from the Washington Post will join us to give us his take on how Ron Rivera and Kyle Smith have come together. And we actually have a little audio, both Rivera and Smith, as well as some audio of Chase Young that we wanted to play. Let's start with Kyle Smith talking about the Trent Williams situation. It's cut 5, Valdez. Obviously, they came to a decision. Finally moved Trent Williams. He goes to the Niners. They acquired a 5th-round pick this year, a 3rd-round pick next year. Here's Kyle Smith talking about that situation.
With the Trent stuff, it's been a long process. And, you know, I think everybody's a little bit, you guys as well, I think we're all relieved that it's over and it's done. And, you know, from day one that we got into this, it's a unique situation. Where, you know, a lot of different layers to it, and we did the best that we could. We've opened it up to the agent to find a partner and all that stuff, and finally we're to the point where it's over and we're all moving in our own direction. We wish him the best, and I think Coach does as well, and, you know, we're moving forward.
I think that's the general philosophy, moving forward.
Just happy that it's over with. You know, it's not hanging over their heads anymore. He's on a new team. They got compensation that it's not ideal, but it's, I guess, decent for as far along in the process as they were. They just wanted to wash their hands of him and move along.
I mean, they're not going to trash him at this point.
No.
I mean, it's over. It's behind him. It's a different regime. Move on. They got what they did. I you know, I'm thankful.
And I believe him when he says we did the best we could. I mean, if they were in place and they were making the decisions last year, then maybe they would have got a better deal. They would have taken that first rounder or something similar. So.
Right,
I believe them when they say it's the best we could do.
Yeah,
we also have Coach Rivera, EB's favorite dynamic coach in the NFL when it comes to
well, this
speaking.
Guy's a snoozer in these pressers, but it doesn't
talking
matter.
Talking about the same thing, it's cut 7, also talking about the Trent situation just being done with.
And, you know, one of the things that we talked about last when I first got here was talking about sustainable winning culture. And, you know, again, one of the things that we wanted was to have guys that were going to be part of it. From the beginning, and again, just this was an opportunity for us to part ways with a guy that wanted to move forward, which is great. I get that, I understand that, but again, we're going to do things a specific way. Whole attitude, whole idea about what we're doing is we're going to, you know, build this culture with the guys that want to be here, the guys want to be part of what we're doing, so we can go forward and just feel good about where we are. And this was something that, you know, it gives everybody an opportunity to start clean, start fresh. You guys know, you know, what I said in the first meeting, and you know, we're going forward from here.
Yeah, the signs are pretty clear that if you're disgruntled and you have a weird history with the Skins, you're not going to last long with Rivera in charge. He's going to move you out. He's going to get whatever he can for you, and he's going to get his own guys in place. He did it with Dunbar. You know, he inherited a mess with Bruce Allen in regards to Trent Williams. Clean that up. That's just what he does. He gets his own guys in place, and he moves on.
Hmm. Yeah, Norman, Dunbar, Trent Williams, all out of here.
Yeah.
I really want to hear from – so I see Kyle Smith. It'd be great. If, I don't know if he does interviews. But I wonder when they're targeting guys, you know, through the draft, like, did they have Golden Gandy or whatever his name is, did they have him and go, I that's a guy, I want to get him. Like, I love him. I love what I saw on tape. Or is he just someone that fell to him and he was one of their higher-rated guys on the board? Or did they target certain guys and say, I want this kid, and we're going to try to get him in the fourth round? You know what I mean? I wonder how all that works.
Probably a
I'm
combo.
Sure they fall in love with certain guys and target them and say, hey, this is a guy who would be great.
This is a guy we want.
Round.
We're this going into this draft. We know we're going to get Chase.
Well, I think especially with Gandy Golden, I can't remember who tweeted it, but there was a chart of who was the best value pick round by round through the NFL draft, and Gandy Golden was the fourth round value in the entire draft.
Right.
So it might have just been, look, this guy is so highly rated for where we would expect him to go. We don't expect him here, so we're going
to
pick
him. I wonder, did he just fall to him and he was highly rated, or did they target him? You know, same thing with Gibson. Was this a guy, they saw the tape, they worked it. Well, I guess they didn't work him out. There was very little at. But they just said, this is a guy, if he's available third round, we're going to pull the trigger. You know what
probably
I mean?
Probably on their chart.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
One thing that they didn't do is they didn't draft the tight end. I know they picked up Randy Moss's son via undrafted free agency. Here's Kyle Smith, cut six, talking about why they didn't go tight end in the draft.
It goes back to what we've talked about before, Coach and I, about the board. And you follow the board and you kind of go let the board speak to you. The tight end position we did address, we added in free agency with Logan. So we're excited about him and his upside. Obviously Thaddeus Moss, we are bringing in as well as a undrafted free agent. So he'll be added to that mix. But it's not something that the way we want to move forward when letting the board speak to you is you don't want to force things. We're always going to have needs and positions of focus. But you don't want to force it because that's when you start riding guys up the board. And in my opinion, and in coaches' opinion, start making mistakes. So that, you know, when we add a tight end or any position, it's based off of that board.
It was Daniel Jeremiah who tweeted his top value picks for each round at Move the Sticks on Twitter. Valdez will like this. His top value in the first round was Baltimore Ravens pick Patrick Queen, who was taken 28th. He had a rank of 15, so he had a plus 13 value. In the second round, it was AJ Epinesa from the Bills, who had a plus 28. And then for the Redskins, Gandy Golden was a plus 63. He was taken 142nd, but he had a value, apparently, of 79.
Mm-hmm. And this is according to Jeremiah's board.
According to Daniel Jeremiah, yeah. Baltimore right. also gets a steal in the seventh round, Valdez, with Geno Stone, a plus 96 on the value chart. Yeah. Look at that. I guess Valdez doesn't care.
I guess.
It's just sports. I mean, you're talking about a seventh round.
Hey, it's value. You always like to get value, JP, if it's the first or seventh round.
Well, who doesn't love a sale rack?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we know that the Redskins' value comes down to Chase Young. It really does. If Chase Young becomes a star that everybody thinks he's going to become, then they had a damn good draft.
Well, his value is only a plus one, JP, because he was the first rated but was picked second. Right. So his value not that great, apparently.
Well, we'll see how he fares in the field. Here's Chase talking about what he looks for when he's scouting opponents, talking about his preparation.
That cut one?
Yes, cut one. Sorry.
Yeah, I look for a lot, man. I do. I break it up in different days throughout the week. I look at I like to study the offensive lineman tendencies. You know where they might look. You know before the snap, how they set. Where is that kick for that? Is it far back or is it you know up shorter? You know, it's a lot of stuff. You know, play recognition, what plays do they run out of each formation? And how does the lineman stance differ throughout those formations? It's a lot of stuff that I'll probably have to break down to you, but I do my best on watching film. I'm definitely going to continue that on the next level.
It's good to hear that he's a student of the game, because I just know him as an athletic freak. Everybody just talks about his athleticism, but clearly he seems like he's a student of the game, too.
Sounds like he was coached up in high school, too. Wonder where he went to high school.
Knew that was coming.
Well, you know, the
I don't know. I'll have Brooks. To Google it.
One of the headlines on
that.
One of the headlines on ESPN yesterday was that, I guess during the presser, and here at some point he does compare himself to Julius Peppers, but he talks about how even though he's got to be, 21, 22 years old, that he still expects to grow maybe another inch or two. His father went from 6'7 to 6'10 in college between his sophomore year and senior year in college. That would just be incredible. I know we were talking about it in the house. I was telling my son, hey, there's still a chance for you. Chase Young thinks he's still going to grow.
He's kind of grasping. And by the way, it's just downright greedy. When you're already blessed like Chase Young, you're 6'5".
Get another couple inches.
You want to get to be 6'7". Okay, what about all the sub-6-footers out there? Okay,
give it to Cakes.
Can you think about us a little
bit?
Well,
then you would flip him around and play him a tight end.
If you got to that, yeah, maybe.
He's still 21 years old.
He's 21, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's possible. I know I grew a smidge in college. There's no doubt about it. So he would be a legit senior if he came back, right? Because you can't really leave until your third year. So, it happens. Some guys do grow. It's possible. Well, he's going to be fun to watch.
Oh,
I know
he's
that.
He's going to be a beast. Good kid, too. Like you said, he's a student of the game. Plays hard, practices hard.
And he's going to terrorize the moment.
I can't see where he's going to terrorize the moment. I don't think Skins fans are going to be disappointed at all.
No, I think he's going to be good.
All right, remember, we'll get back into the Redskins and their front office, the merging of Ron Rivera and Kyle Smith. Les Carpenter, who covers the Redskins for the Washington Post, he'll join us at 8 o'clock. And later in the program, we're going to talk to Howard Eskin, covers the Eagles in Philadelphia. We're the Junkies, coming right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.